Hey everyone, gonna have James Davis here in a second to talk a full Friday in baseball. Reminder that our podcast is brought to you by In-Game Fantasy, a great new app that simulates real-time games. You pick your batter. You have Bryce Harper in the first inning, let's say. He gets on first base. Then you have Edward Encarnacion against the lefty. He hits a home run. Bam, you have two runs to your name. You keep going like this for three innings. Great new way to sweat out baseball games on a night-to-night basis. Pick the batters in the best spots. Go over to In-Game Fantasy, download the app, or fanamana.com. Sign up using the promo code DFSR. You're all good to go. And another quick ask, just go over, please, 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 it's so important for us. If you go over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast, it really helps us climb up those iTunes charts. I know it sounds crazy that in this day and age, this is the way that you need to bump up your listens, but rating and reviewing really helps us get there. All right, full Friday in baseball. All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Friday, June 23rd. As promised, that is
Doug Norrie.
Oh, buddy, you're already throwing me off. You know I'm kind of in a hurry today.
I said we had to start the podcast. You're trying to throw me off by making me say my name first, so go ahead.
Good point. Yeah, no, I got to leave a little bit earlier today to do something so mind-blowingly awesome that I can't even put it into words on the podcast. But regardless, starting 30 minutes early, going to get out of here a little bit earlier today, too. Luckily, by the way, that's James Davis. I'm Doug Norrie. We're from DFSR.com. There's still time to grab a free three-day trial to our projection system, which is optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings MLB. Football coming sooner than I can really believe, honestly. All covered under one package. DFSR.com/MLB will get you free for 3 days, and then just $29.95 a month after that. I do think today is pretty it's pretty crystallized. Like it seems like the pitching options, we're going to probably be choosing between just probably one or two guys on FanDuel and DraftKings, and then some starting pitcher two discussion that we can have here. Also, for cash games, I think the big question people are going to ask themselves tonight is Strasburg or Archer, and it's going to be real tough to play them together on DraftKings just because the prices are really just too expensive, and you would need a crazy amount of value bats, and I just really kind of don't see that happening, especially with teams. Teams are just getting a little bit more consistent with their batting lineups lately. So I do believe we are seeing a few less just like total punt guys coming to the top and hitting leadoff. But between Strasburg and Archer, this is going to be the question that people that kind of just probably wrestle with all day. Is there a guy that you would lean toward right now that looks better than the other? Are they just kind of this is total coin flip territory? Where are you with these two guys?
It's close to total coin flip territory for me. There's pros and cons on both sides of the aisle here, so I can just dig into it a little bit. In terms of just raw pitching, these guys have actually been pretty similar this season. Archer's actually been probably a little bit better than Strasburg. You know, the K rate's just a little bit higher. The walk rate's just a little bit higher as well, but just really delivering in a way that we haven't totally seen from him in the past. Strasburg, meanwhile, you know, taking a little bit of a step back in terms of the Ks, has brought them at least pretty close. You know, they're comparable enough to where you probably wouldn't give one too big of an advantage over the other. So then it just comes down to matchup, park, and price, which are our last three options, which, you know, just comes down to all the factors you would consider for a daily fantasy baseball pitcher. But so right now, I'm actually going to get your take on this and see how you feel about it, because right now, actually, Strasburg's coming ahead in our system in spite of being 500 more expensive than Archer. But here are the things that are going in Archer's favor right now. First of all, the Orioles have a lower WOBA against right-handed pitching. They strike out more than the Reds do versus right-handed pitching, and Tampa Bay is a better park. So what do you think is going on there with Strasburg getting the higher projection?
I think that all their peripherals are basically the same, I would say, without looking exactly into our system right now and seeing Archer may be a tick higher in terms of expected K rate, but it's really, really close. I think
they're effectively identical. XFIP right now for this season, 0.06 away from one another.
Right, no, I'm saying in our outward projections. Okay, yeah, right, either way. But so I do think that they're probably just about as close as two pitchers can be in terms of expected innings and expected Ks. The thing that's really just probably giving Strasburg the extra little bump is the Reds just have a slightly lower implied run line. Right now we have the Orioles at like 3.7 and change, and we have the Reds at 3.4. And I think that's honestly, the material difference. And I mean, well, I take that back. There's another thing too. Strasburg is a much higher money line. So right now, Archer is at coming in at -185. Started at 195, bet down to 185. Strasburg started at -250, up to -265. Those two factors alone, those just those two factors, are enough for him to be, I don't know, the 10% higher than he is, 10% more points. Actually, no, it's even less than that. It's like 5%. Like 5% more points than Strasburg over Archer. And I think that's just the difference. I think they're probably, you can qualify them as being the same pitcher. And Strasburg, I don't know if it's a National League thing. You know, you get to run through the pitcher one time, so that decreases some of the run expectation for the Reds. And the win, I mean, just having that many more win points is, it just really kind of matters, especially on FanDuel, right? Like the win is the win makes a bigger difference on FanDuel than it does on DraftKings, where it's probably a little bit closer. But you know, a 72% implied win percentage to a 66 makes a difference, and that's, I think that's,
well, Strasburg's also 800 cheaper than Archer on DraftKings too, which is going to ultimately make a huge difference there. If we believe that they're both pretty much identical, you're going to wind up going Strasburg for 800 less almost always.
You know, I think that, and I think that if you look at it, like, even if you're not using a straight modeling system like we are, like, where we're just, like, you know, actually just using numbers to inform almost all the decisions, if you just look at these guys and you say, I like them both the same, and then you just look at the other readily available information you have, like Vegas money line, and just say, Strasburg just has been more of a chance, more of a line for a win by, you know, a decent amount of percentage points, and the implied run line for the Reds is lower, and I think you can just use that to make your decision, right? Like, I think that that's... It's still really close. Don't get me wrong. Because I just think Archer just has a few more K's in him. And I think that's the thing that's actually keeping it a little closer. But I'll just take Strasburg. I'll take him for 800 less on DraftKings for sure. And I think he's a few bucks less. No, actually he's 500 more. I guess that you can make a case for maybe play Strasburg for a little cheaper on DraftKings and maybe go Archer on FanDuel for a little bit of savings. I still think I'd go for Strasburg, but I think that's where I'm ultimately going to land.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. I think the money line piece is going to be a deciding factor for a lot of people. And pitching in the National League really does matter. You know, even if the Reds are a slightly worse matchup, getting effectively an automatic out when Strasburg gets to go up against Luis Castillo. That's not the old guy who used to play for the Marlins. That's the Reds pitcher today, apparently. you get a really good running start there. So, yeah. And then I love the Nats, by the way, in terms of just run support, to be able to crush this guy, Luis Castillo, who's sort of a non-prospect. 24-year-old guy who hasn't even had that much of a track record of the minors, and what he has had hasn't been overly impressive. So I think that, looks like a great spot.
Yeah, I mean, the Rays do get Ubaldo Jimenez, who's no great shakes on his own. So, this is all to say...
The Rays are no great shakes on their own either.
No, and that is a problem. And this is all to say, it's really close. Like, I wouldn't make a life bet on Strasburg over Archer right now. I'm actually trying to think of what pitcher...
But maybe later, like, depending on what comes out throughout the day, you might make that life bet.
I'm actually trying to think of a scenario where what pitcher versus another pitcher I would make a life bet about. I could probably come up with something. Maybe not for my life, maybe your life or something, or like a friend of ours' lives.
Dude, it would be a huge hassle for you if I died, so be careful what you wish for, my friend.
It probably would be, although maybe not as bad as we would think. After those two guys, I don't think you can play them together on DraftKings. I just think it's too expensive. You'd be putting 24,200 into salary, and I just don't think it's just too much for these two guys. Starting pitcher too, though, so there are a couple cheaper options. No one else is more than 10,000. So DraftKings did do us a little bit of a favor here by making some of these other sort of some big name arms less than $10,000. Anyone here that stands out to you in terms of just a guy that you can maybe pair with either Archer or Strasburg, depending on which way you go?
Yeah, I actually really like Rick Porcello here. Porcello,
no one's going to want to hear that.
That's fine. I was ready to, because even when you kind of threw him out there in our show prep today, you were like, oh, Porcello is coming in. Yeah. Yeah. But I actually really like Porcello, and let me go through why. So Porcello this season, you know, the xFIP has not been spectacular, but the thing that the xFIP isn't going to take into account is the outrageous BABIP luck Porcello's had this year. Now, maybe you blame some of that on, I don't know, the Red Sox defense or something. I'm not exactly sure, but a 366 BABIP is totally out of bounds. Like, that's a complete joke. That is not anywhere near his true talent level. Yeah, he's generated a lot of ground balls throughout his career, so he's had issues with a higher BABIP in the past, but the reason Porcello hasn't had those issues. He's totally changed his pitcher profile from when he first came up with the Tigers. You know, like, when he came up, everyone expected him to be this strikeout machine, and he was just a ground ball machine instead. And as he's transitioned over to the Red Sox, he's leaned more and more heavily on the four-seamer, less heavily on the two-seamer, and the ground balls have kind of gone away. Now, generally speaking, we like ground balls over fly balls, but certainly not at the expense of strikeouts. So when I look at him and I see the walk rates below his career, already below his excellent career average at 1.75, the K rates at 8.26 per nine, I just see a good pitcher. And when I see that at 6,700, my lips start watering. What water's in your mouth? My mouth starts watering.
You salivate. Yeah, you do a little.
Yeah, I'm salivating. I was. And we've had some success against pitching against the Angels this season as well. Like, the Angels have been one of the worst teams in the American League, third worst in the American League versus right-handed pitching, a pretty modest, slightly above average K rate versus righties. Just seems like a good spot. I don't know. The Troutless Angels too, no less. Like, this is just a exact kind of spot you want for a guy who's 6,700. And when you compare him up against some of the other options and the sacrifices you have to make on a full slate, because let's be real, like, if you're going to go up to one of these other guys, like, I don't know, Alex Wood or Darvish or somebody like that, you're making significant sacrifices by leaving 3,300 on the table for bats. So I'm actually pretty enthusiastic about that play right now.
Yeah, I know people are going to bring up the fact that last night the Angels put up 10 runs on the Yankees against Severino.
That would be a stupid point if people brought that up.
But I personally am not going to bring it up, but I just know that other people are not.
It sounds like you just brought it up and you tried to blame other people for the stupid point you were going to make.
Yeah, no.
You can go on.
No, I don't. That doesn't. It's not something that bothers me too much. The Angels, this lineup is not very good. They do not K a lot as a group, which is a little bit of a slightly an issue. Not big enough to sway me too much off of. The case for Porcello, I think, is fine, really. I mean, it's really just the price. I think if it was 8,000, we wouldn't be having the discussion. But 6,700 for a guy who, like you said, is running really damn bad this year. Like, it's not like he's been great. Like, the xFIP is not phenomenal. It's average, 4.3. But a 4.3 xFIP for the guy that can strike out getting close to a guy per inning, walking less than two, I think you can take a chance on it. Again, it doesn't feel great, and I know users are not going to want to see it, but he's minus 170. That's a fine money line for this price range, and I just think I'm kind of with you, and I still don't feel great about it. I don't think it'd probably be a situation where I'd be fine playing a little bit of him and then maybe a little bit of, like, I don't know, somebody else besides him. Is there anyone else in this under 10,000 range that kind of stands out to you?
I guess John Lackey. I kind of have my heart set on Porcello, Doug. I'm really thinking about Porcello. But Lackey's a reasonable option. I mean, Lackey brings to the table similar peripherals. I mean, you add a whole walk per nine, so you don't love that very much. But he hasn't had it. And historically, Lackey just does have a much better BABIP, so that's going to make a big difference here. The thing about Lackey is he's just gotten bruised by these home runs this year. Historically, he's always allowed a decent amount of fly balls, but and a home runs for that matter, compared to other pitchers with, I guess, a similar reputation. But this year, it's been a real problem. He's allowed 2.2 home runs per nine, about as bad as you can possibly see. And that's made him just a pariah in many DFS circles right now. Like, who do you think we get more booze for, Lackey or Porcello?
I kind of just don't want to find out, like, to be honest, because I'm with you too. The home run, the fly ball rate for him, he has a career average of 10. It's a little bit of a skewed number because he's pitched in a bunch of different places, so, like, really take the full historical record for a guy that can. But if you just look at his last year with the Cubs, he was a 13% home run the fly ball. This year is 22%, so somewhere around, you know, not quite double, but basically double the amount of home runs to fly balls. That's just not sustainable. If you look at just an entire career of him, just how he's pitched, you're just not going to continue to get this many balls scraping over or just getting absolutely bombed over the wall. So, it's a price thing for these guys. I keep saying it. Like, it's not if they were 8,000 or 8,500, we'd skip right over them, I think. I just don't – there's the case really wouldn't be there. It's the fact that they're both sitting in the 6,500-6,600 range. That's just really cheap on DraftKings for guys that – there's enough pedigree with these two guys, I would say, that I think you can trust some of the historical stuff and just look in – I do like it when you can point to very specific things that are different about a guy this year, specifically when they're kind of like revolving around luck, that you can say these things are not likely to continue – but these are the reasons that these guys' prices are so low, right? Like, so if your price is low because you're just walking the ballpark and just getting absolutely bombed in line with how you've been stinking the rest of your career, then obviously there's no case to be made. But when there's outlier things, home runs to fly balls, BABIP, like strand rate for Porcello has been kind of a problem too, when you combine those, and that's probably wrapped up with the BABIP too. So, like, when you look at these things and you say, these are the reasons we're getting them so cheap and now is time to buy, I can be talked into it from that point of view.
Yeah, I think that makes perfect sense. And I think that there's going to be a lot of people out there who go in a different direction with their pitcher two
Oh, yeah.
slot. And I think that's probably going to be Alex Wood. I don't know what your gut tells you there, but Wood pitching in LA, he gets the Rockies outside of Coors, which is never a bad thing. And he's just been amazing this year, especially pitching in LA, big spacious pitcher's park there. 10.5 Ks per nine, 2.19 walks per nine. He's basically been Strasburg and Archer, except for he's also got a 66% ground ball rate. So, maybe the play is just to play Wood over all these guys. I'm not totally sure, but I would be a little spooked going into this one without Alex Wood. What do you think?
Yeah, I looked into this before the show started because this is the problem you have with a guy like Wood, and it's kind of a problem with some of these Dodger pitchers, is the pitch count. That's it. He has not thrown more. Looking at his pitch counts from the games he started this season, my guess is there's some kind of internal organizational rule about 90 pitches with him. There's been a couple times where he's gone over, and I suspect that was because he was just finishing off a batter, basically. Like, this was going to be the last batter, and maybe he went a few pitches more. But really, I think the highest he had was 96 pitches, and there was times that he got pulled at like 88, 89. That is a problem for this price range, right? Like, you need everything to go correct for him to be able to pay off a 9,600 price at 90 pitches. That's like, any little thing goes wrong and you're in trouble. And that's my only that's my only hesitation with him, is just that he's just not
sure.
Like,
2 starts ago, pitched against Cincinnati, 5 innings, no runs, 2 hits, 2 walks. That's it. Just didn't make it out of the 5th inning, even though only 4 batters had gotten on.
So if you're pushing up $10,000 price tag on him and you're just worried that he's going to be out by the 5th inning because, he's been able to maintain these, like, kind of going a little bit longer innings wise in the games because his BABIP he's running super hot on BABIP. Like, he's 268 BABIP for a 300 career average. That's the thing that's allowing him to stick, up into the 6th inning, basically. That can easily go the other way. A couple balls get through and you extend, 2 or 3 batters in an inning, and all of a sudden you're out by the 5th. And now you've paid close to $10,000 for a guy who's going to go 5 innings. So I'm with you. The peripherals are great. Everything about him is great. It's just that one thing that bothers me. And I think that one thing is a real reason I might stay away.
Is he going to bother everyone else enough to where he won't just be chalk anyway?
Probably not. He'll probably be chalk. You ask yourself, well, what do I get for the extra $3,000? Like, let's just say Wood versus Lackey. Let's say, because, like, what do I get for that extra $3,000 in hitting? If there's a bunch of cheap guys that come in, then I think I'd feel comfortable just paying for the hate this word, the quote unquote safety of Wood, right? Like, that sounds kind of dirty too, but I think then I'd be fine with it if I saw that there was, I don't know, let's say the Dodgers like hit some one of these cheap bums like Kiki Hernandez like up near the top or something like that. Like, if a couple of guys like that came into the mix, I think I'd be okay with the extra $3,000. But $3,000, that's a lot of money, man. Like, that's a lot of money to sort of, like,
a whole extra batter.
Definitely. Like, you're gonna make a huge sacrifice. Maybe it's correct. Like, maybe that is, like, maybe Wood's standard deviation just is just more in line with, like, a safer cash game play. I'm not totally sure. I suspect
it
just...
Well, it appears that way thus far this season. But, yeah, I think if you look at the peripherals, it is interesting that, of course, both Porcello and Lackey are on the extreme end of the unlucky spectrum. And Wood is on the extreme end of the lucky spectrum, but Wood is also better. So there's just, like, a lot of things. This is where just having numbers, underlying numbers, to inform all of your decisions really, really helps.
Right.
Not to beat that dead horse of signing up for the projection system, but it's very hard for the human brain, I think, to take all of this into account in any sort of rational way. Because what's going to happen is, for most people, I think, they're going to decide, well, hey, this is close. What feels better? I'll go with Wood. And that is not the greatest way to do it. It is still close in our system. Wood is only a point off, so I wouldn't be surprised if things kind of wiggle around a little bit and he winds up in the optimal lineups. But yeah, it's one of the nights where probably trusting math is going
to
be your best.
And that's a hard thing with DFS sometimes. Like, sometimes you just have to feel uncomfortable. You just need to make uncomfortable decisions, right? Like, and that's the problem is that you're paying for the great luck that Wood has had so far this year, and you're saving on the bad luck that the other two guys have had. And if you can, remove the emotional part of it for a second and just look at those things and say to yourself, like, I'm getting a pretty nice opportunity on these other guys, then I think you'll be okay with it. The other guy I think people could talk themselves into is Michael Fulmer against the Padres. Fulmer himself he's like one of these classic, like, he is really not all that good, but he just has the great fortune of his turn in the order comes up against the Padres in San Diego. So He's only striking out 6.5 per nine this year, walking two. Like, he's, his peripherals just really aren't there, except the thing that he has going in his favor is the Padres are still absolutely terrible. He's a nice money, minus 140 against them. Padres 3.5 implied runs right now. Like, you're getting, like, so where do you take, like, where does that fit in for you? He's kind of smashed right in between the guys we've talked about. Like, he's the only 8,300. So Wood 96, Fulmer 83, and then those other guys are in this mid 6,000s. Is the dip down in savings you get to that mid 8,000 range for him, is it enough that he clearly has the best matchup of all the guys we've talked about?
He does. It would be tough for me to pull the trigger on that just because he's in that Mike Leake category. Exactly. Of a pitcher that's just not very good. And it's like, if I can get a guy with 8.5 Ks per nine, like you mentioned between Wood and those other guys, and I actually think that's pretty close because in Wood you are getting ace level production. With Fulmer, you're getting nothing like that. So it's like, how much better can he really be against the Padres for the extra 1,800 you're going to pay? Like, I don't know. It'd be really, that one would be tough for me to swallow. Like, I wouldn't mind playing any of the other guys we talked about, but I wouldn't feel good if he would wind up being the guy.
Yeah, I call those guys like the Tanner Roark all-stars, right? Like, they're just like, he's a guy, he's just kind of a dude. Like, he's never going to probably, he's fine to, like, have in your real baseball team, and every once in a while they just get like, an insanely great matchup, and then you're forced to consider them, and then the rest of the time you can just basically ignore them. Fulmer is clearly in that, that Roark, Leake, I guess Waka is in there too. There's other guys, I'm sure we can make a whole list of these dudes that are just, sure. Fine. All right, let's get into, I think we pretty much covered on the pitching in the sense that there are definitely question marks, and it's going to be, it's a really good night, I think, to, especially like for tournaments too, to kind of play some of those cheaper guys we mentioned, because I do think you have a great, just a kind of a great opportunity to buy on some of them. And for cash games, we'll just kind of have to decide where we think is the safest, who's the safest guy for the price. And I think that's going to be a difficult decision leading up into lock. On the offensive side of things, there are some bad pitchers going here today. We don't have a game in Coors. We do get a game in Chase, so there's some decent hitters parks. Though I'd say by and large, it looks like we're going mostly pitchers parks tonight. Where do you see yourself kind of coming in on some possible stacks, or is it kind of spread out for you tonight?
I know, I think there's some pretty good elite teams that you can stack here, or at least situations that are looking pretty darn good. The first one is the Indians against Alberto Mejia.
Oh yeah,
Alberto Mejia. There we go. Just, you can delete the other one, then we'll be
good. I don't know if Google, like, is Google so, like, Google Chrome so smart? I typed in ADA into my search browser this morning, and it auto-populated out. And they didn't, like, populate the link like I've gone there before. It just said, oh, are you looking for Adalberto Mejia's Fangraphs page? Like, it just, like...
No, they know. You definitely have typed that in, because that, you've just typed in every pitcher probably, or every player probably in Fangraphs. That's very same thing happens to me.
Oh, well. Does it? Because with the other guys, like, when I typed in, like, Lackey, for instance, it gave me the actual like Fangraphs link. This one just made the suggestion that
it doesn't always do that, but I can give you a tech support on Google Chrome and how searching works in a little bit. sorry, that was a little rude. So the reason I love the Indians here is the same reason I loved them last night. Like, they are a super patient team that can just really ruin guys that can't keep the ball in the zone. And Mejia perfectly fits that bill. The 4.87 walks per nine this season over a 40-inning sample is pretty significant. He's just all over the place. That opens him up not just to putting a lot of runners on base, but also making mistakes in the zone when he has to kind of rush things back in and try to overcompensate. And the Indians this season, the highest walk rate in the majors against left-handed pitching. I'm sorry, second now. And then one of the lower K rates. So I really love them here. It just seems like a good spot. Vegas loves the implied total, and the hitters themselves are actually cheap enough to where you can stack a few of them without really giving up much equity elsewhere.
Yeah, no, you're still getting guys like Lindor at a pretty good price for a shortstop position that's just generally thin all the time. Kipnis hitting the top of the order. Santana, I know he's kind of a frustrating guy to roster, but the fact that he's sort of a three true outcome kind of guy does keep the price on him lower, at least on FanDuel. Now, the Indians in a great spot. In terms of Vegas, the Nationals are expected to put up runs. Guys like Castillo, I know sometimes Vegas is going to default to the guy hasn't pitched in the majors, so therefore, one, he probably is not going to last very long. He does have, he's been pretty good this year in Double-A. I mean, he's coming right from Double-A to the majors, so that's a pretty big jump. He was striking out a guy per inning down there. Really looked like he had pretty good control. His minor league numbers kind of vacillate between really high K upside and kind of struggling. So, I mean, it's hard to make.
I think he's going to get ruined.
He probably will. No, I'm fine having the Nationals here. Like, I like speaking of just shortstops that are not, there's just not many to roster. Trey Turner is another great spot here. It's probably going to be between him and Lindor for me, just because they're pretty much so far ahead of the pack in terms of just like guys who can actually hit, who hit at the top of the lineup. I mean, I guess Bogarts is kind of in there too, but there really aren't many of these guys just on a night-to-night basis that you can roster. So I love Turner here. Maybe we see Brian Goodwin hitting second, coming cheap. That would be nice. I'm firmly in the camp of they should just be hitting Bryce Harper second, but they don't seem to want to do that. But even Harper is not a guy we've kind of talked about too much lately, just because mostly he's been pretty expensive. He's still pretty expensive, $4,800, but we have him for the most implied points on the day, or the most projected points on the day. So the Nationals just kind of up and down that lineup. They're another patient team. They're very hard to strike out. That's a real problem for guys coming out of the minor. So now I'm on the Nationals. Indians, Nationals. Anyone else here?
Yeah, there's a number of teams, frankly. I like both sides of the Phillies-Arizona game today. Mark Leiter Jr. is pitching for the Phillies.
Father, like son.
And Pat... is he Al Leiter's son?
Oh, no. Mark Leiter's son, because he's junior.
Who's Mark Leiter?
Oh, maybe I'm confusing. Oh, okay. That's so funny. How would
Mark Leiter is Mark Leiter Jr.
Al Leiter, this is my son, Mark Leiter Jr. Like, well, where did the junior come from?
Yeah, my dad was Mark Leiter. Don't you put a junior after it if your grandfather? No, you don't. Damn it. All right, well, sorry.
No, Mark Leiter was Mark Leiter was a pitcher. He pitched with the Phillies back in 2017. Oh, this is actually that guy.
Just like really solid, really solid. Like father, like son, he says. So anyway, given that obviously Doug has never heard of Mark Leiter Jr.
That's the guy. I transposed Al Leiter onto Mark Leiter. I think right there. Yeah,
it's all good, man. Hey, we'll leave this one in though, so just because it's a good laugh. But both sides of that should be pretty run scoring heavy. I mean, there's just a number of guys you can really look at if you want to get crazy tonight. You have Seth Lugo against Ty Block in San Francisco. It's a bad park, but you know the upside against less than ideal pitchers is looking pretty good. It'd be surprising if people didn't go pretty deep on Oakland. And actually, Mike Pelfrey's an interesting case this season. His ERA has actually taken a nosedive, and people are doing the old, it's Mike Pelfrey. Like, has he just figured out how to pitch again? Like, has he just kind of turned a corner? I don't know if you have Mike Pelfrey's page turned up, but no, Mike Pelfrey hasn't learned how to pitch again. he has added 1.4 Ks per nine, and that's brought him up to 5.6. So that is not a pitcher who anyone should be scared of. I do think Oakland will be very heavily owned here, especially you get them out of their nasty home park, get them in Chicago, and it's another really good spot. So,
well, the problem with the Pelfrey,
I could see us being in one of those rich man situations where we can pick and choose the one or two best players from a number of teams for our cash game lineups, as opposed to opening ourselves up to just one big stack.
Yeah, no, I'm well aware of what Pelfrey's done, because I think I've stacked against him every single time he's pitched this season, and it's just like...
He's a lot of like no earned
runs. Oh, he's just running so ridiculously hot. Like, there's been a couple times where he's just gotten out of base loaded situations. It's been very tilting to watch the roster day after day against Mike Pelfrey and just have him have the luckiest season that he's had in his whole entire career. So it hasn't. it's fine. I'm like willing to just keep going back to that. Well, the one reason that I was kind of like spooked about why the Arizona guys weren't showing up more in the system here against
there's
-210 with a 10 over. So they're gonna have they're gonna be up near. Yeah. Six, somewhere like that, implied run. They have 5.5. So, no, they're in a great spot, too. Yeah, there's just a lot of good teams. Red Sox, too. Red Sox.
Yeah, against Alex Meyer. That was one on my list.
Well,
also.
The thing about Meyer is he was pretty good last time. I always get a little worried with these guys. He has, like, a great K rate. He also has an awful walk rate. And so.
Yeah, well, he has a good K rate because he faces so many extra batters per inning. That's like the 10.76. He walks six guys per nine. Like, he gets to face an extra batter every other inning or more.
I do get a little, I guess my point is I get a little bit worried about stacking guys, teams against guys who actually can strike batters out. Like, I know he has like bad, he just has like bad control issues, but you, like, for instance, like stacking a guy against like Pelfrey, like there's so much that can go right for you in that situation. Yeah. Like, if the BABIP just kind of comes back to normal, whereas like Meyer, he can like stop innings by just the fact that he can get swings and misses. That's my only worry with a guy like him. So like all the other guys we sort of mentioned before just like don't really have that issue, but Meyer has shown the ability to at least strike out major league batters. Like, yes, he's also shown the ability to just allow them to walk down the first like at their leisure, but I'm just, that's the only thing that kind of dissuades me from the Red Sox line, who actually I think they have the most implied runs of the day, which is six. So, and all still pretty coming across the board pretty damn cheap. So, yeah, that's the only thing that kind of turns me off. All right, we got to get out of here.
For what it's worth, real quick, before you run off to your riverboat cruise. Oh, damn it, did I say it? I'm so sorry. You told me not to say it, but I said it.
It's fine.
But before you run off to your riverboat cruise, the Red Sox do have a top 10 walk rate versus righties this season and the second lowest strikeout rate. So I think it's, you know, worth noting that. Well, yeah, I'm totally with you. I would rather stack against guys like Pelfrey than Meyer in a vacuum. The Red Sox are very tough to strike out and walk a ton. So I think that I do agree it does feel a little bit riskier, but I think it's less risky than it would be if he were facing like the Rays, a team who hits right-handed pitching very well but strikes out a ton. Wanted to make that point, buddy, so you could sit with that while you have the breeze in your hair and a bunch of other lovely families and probably other moms to talk to on the
boat. It is going to be beyond lit. All right, we're out of here. Enjoy a big Friday in baseball. DFSR.com/MLB. It's a free 3-day trial to the projection system for FanDuel and DraftKings. Buddy, talk to you next week.
Yeah, can't wait, man.